I invite you to grab your Pew Bibles with me. Our passage this morning is 1 Peter chapter 3. So 1 Peter chapter 3. If you find Hebrews, next is James, and then we have 1 Peter chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 18. We're taking a short break from our series through Psalm 23. And in light of that, we have three baptisms this month coming up, and the month of October is when we also celebrate on October 31 Reformation Day. And so, with those two things going on, the prayer in our baptism form, the prayer that we pray together, that prayer of preparation that we pray at every baptism, originally was written by Martin Luther back in 1523. And so that prayer is based on the baptism prayer written by Luther just a few years after the Reformation. And so over the next few Sundays, we'll be looking at the biblical scriptural references that come out of that baptism prayer. And this morning we're looking at that first reference, which is to Noah and the flood. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you will never destroy us in our sin as you once did with the flood upon the world, but save us as you saved believing Noah and his family. And we're looking at that and making the connection with baptism in light of 1 Peter chapter 3. Before we turn our attention to God's word, however, let's ask him for his blessing. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, as we now open up your word together, please give us your spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. We pray also that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which you have called us, the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints, and your incomparably great power for us who believe. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. First Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 8, let's pay careful attention because this is God speaking to us. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. People of God, almost every children's storybook Bible that I know of has the story of Noah and the flood. It's an event that kids can relate to. You've got water, you've got a big boat, you've got a bunch of animals. It captures our attention. Reverend Kevin DeYoung, in his children's storybook Bible called The Biggest Story, he describes the events of Noah and the flood. And this is what he says: things got so bad, so fast, that God decided to start over. The people on the earth were terribly wicked in their hearts all the time, every day, nonstop. So God sent a flood that wiped away everyone and everything because it all had been stained with sin. Well, almost everything. God saved one family on the earth. One family that trusted him and believed what he said. Noah and his wife and their sons and their wives were spared. They lived for a lot of days with a lot of animals in a big boat called an ark. It rained and rained. God was going to start over with his creation. He was angry with the world that hated him. But he was still at work to save the world that he loved. That's why he rescued Noah and his family. The story of God's judgment against sin. The event of the flood is the story of God's judgment against sin, and it's the story of deliverance from judgment. Noah and the flood teaches us something about salvation. It teaches us something about baptism. Just like God saved Noah and his family from the flood, he also saves us from our sin, from the judgment that we deserved. Saved from that judgment water, brought through that judgment water. And it's because of Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ, there is that deliverance from judgment. Verse 18 in our passage this morning pretty much summarizes our theme. For Christ also suffered, for Christ also died for sins once for all, the righteous, that is Christ, for the unrighteous, that's us, that he might bring us to God. That's what the flood, that's what baptism are pointing to. The deliverance, the salvation that is ours in Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll be looking at as we look at our First Peter passage this morning. First, the flood. For those of you taking notes, second, we'll look at the water, and then we'll wrap things up by looking at the deliverance. And so first, the flood. How is Noah and the flood connected with baptism? How does that event of the flood connect to baptism? In our passage this morning, Peter is first of all explaining how Christ died for sins once for all. Him being the righteous one for us as the unrighteous. And the reason for that sacrifice, the reason for his suffering, is to bring us to God. The reason for Christ's death, the reason for his suffering, was salvation. Deliverance from sin. Salvation. Deliverance from judgment. And that reality is important to keep in mind as we think about Noah and the flood. We often talk about Jesus Christ being our Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. But what we often leave out is what Jesus is saving us from. Why he is our Savior. We face the judgment of God because of our sin. The waters of the flood show clearly what we deserve because of our sin. That's the judgment that we deserve. But Peter goes on, and he brings up the events of Noah and the ark and the flood to explain this. And as he does, he ties the flood with baptism, which points to Christ. So what's going on in the flood that points us forward to baptism? Well, when you think of Noah and the flood, one, you have judgment for sin. And you have God's deliverance or salvation from that judgment. Think about the flood itself. Why did God send the flood? Why did the flood happen? Genesis 6 verse 5, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. All the absolute statements. Only evil all the time, every inclination. The flood happened because of sin. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways, verse 12 tells us. And in that way, the flood water is a water of judgment. The flood was God's judgment on the earth. It was his punishment for the evil and the wickedness that had taken over the earth. And it's important to note that everyone faced this judgment. Everybody faced this flood water of God's judgment. Everyone went through the flood. But as we see in our passage, eight made it through, or were brought through the waters. Noah and his family were brought through the flood water safely. The question is why? Why were Noah and his family, out of everyone in the entire world, why were Noah and his family the ones who were brought through the waters? At first you might think, well, it was because Noah was so good. Right? He's the only one that was described as righteous, and he was described as walking with the Lord. And that's true. But Noah was still a sinner. When you read Genesis as we find it in our Bibles, the part of the story that's often left out of the children's Bible, we get to the end of that story and Noah shows his sin, shows his sinful side, shows his brokenness. Everyone facing the flood were sinners, even Noah. And the reason that he was saved is because of the covenant, the promise that God had made with him. Genesis 6, verse 17, I am going to bring flood waters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark. Remember a few Sundays ago when we had Ruby's baptism and we focused on Ezekiel. And there we had all of the I will promises of God. I will sprinkle you with clean water. I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart. I will take out your heart of stone. I will, I will, I will, I will. What God is accomplishing for our salvation. Well, here we have it again. I will establish my covenant with you and you will enter the ark. God is promising that he will deliver, that he will save Noah and his family. God makes a covenant with Noah. God promises to keep Noah and his family alive and all the other living creatures. In spite of the evil inclination of the human heart, God affirms his relationship with Noah to deliver them from the judgment against sin, to bring them through the water. And as amazing as that in and of itself is, the event of Noah and the flood is pointing to something even greater. This entire event, the flood, points to something more. It has a spiritual significance. It's all part of God's plan to reverse sin and its effects, to bring his redeemed people home to glory. It points to the salvation that God has accomplished through Jesus Christ. You might be thinking, well, how can something as monumental as a worldwide flood point to something even greater? And the answer is only when it's pointing to Jesus. Only when it's pointing to Christ and what he has accomplished for our salvation, our deliverance, our being brought through the water. And that's how the flood is pointing to baptism. And that's our second point this morning, the water of baptism. As we think about the flood waters, they were a very serious thing, weren't they? The flood is a very scary thing, especially if you weren't on the ark. For those on the ark, the flood waters were a symbol of God's deliverance, a symbol of God saving them from judgment and death. But for those who weren't on the ark, for those who didn't believe, all of a sudden, that same water wasn't a symbol of God's salvation and deliverance, but rather a symbol of God's judgment, a symbol of death. And so do you see how the same water, depending on your faith or lack thereof, was either a symbol of your deliverance and salvation and life, or a symbol of judgment and death? 1 Peter 3 makes the connection between the flood water and the water of baptism. Baptism, which corresponds to this, and he's talking about Noah and the flood, now saves you. The flood water that destroyed the disobedient was also the water that God saved, through which God saved Noah and his family. The eight of them were saved through the water. Whether it's Noah and his family back then, or Christ and his family, us as Christians today, in each case God's people, we are holding on to the covenant promises by faith. and experiencing the salvation of the Lord as we are brought through the water. God delivering Noah, God bringing Noah through the water is the analogy that Peter uses to explain baptism, to explain our salvation from judgment in Jesus Christ. Verse 21, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so the water of baptism is like the floodwaters of judgment. They each show clearly what we deserve because of our sin. And just like Noah fled to the ark, in the same way we run to Jesus Christ, and in Him we escape judgment. Or maybe a better way to say it is we make it through the waters because of Jesus Christ. And without Christ, these waters of deliverance and salvation become waters of judgment and death. And that, people of God, is what we're marking our covenant children with. That's the water that we're putting on our children. A sign and a seal of their salvation through faith in Christ, but also waters that point to the judgment if they don't. We know that there are many who are baptized who eventually turn away from the Lord, who eventually walk away from the covenantal promises. Just like there were many who went through the baptism of the flood and experienced judgment rather than deliverance. The same flood that delivered believing Noah and his family was the flood that brought judgment on the unbelieving world. And ultimately, it's the presence or the absence of faith in Jesus Christ that determines whether these waters are waters of judgment or waters of deliverance and salvation. Now, what does all of this mean for us today as we think about and practically apply it for our day? Pastor Daniel Doriani points out that for adults, baptism is a confirmation of their faith. For those who come to faith in Jesus Christ, baptism is part of their profession. So we're thinking about someone who comes to Christ as an adult. Their baptism is their profession of faith. If you look in our New Forms book, the profession of faith form and the baptism of adults form is pretty similar. Don't look it up now. Let's look it up after the service. But that's the point. They're coming to faith. They're professing their faith. The baptism is the confirmation, the expression of that faith. But when it comes to our children, the Spirit may or may not impart new life at the time of baptism. But that baptism, nonetheless, is still a sign and a seal of the covenant of grace. It's a means of grace. It's a way that God pours out His grace, out His saving grace into our lives. And it's something, even if we're not the one being baptized, that we are all part of. Seeing Alyssa's baptism this morning is a reminder of our own baptism and God's covenantal promises to each of us. Him bringing us through the water. The water being a symbol of deliverance and salvation in life rather than judgment and death. And that's why our baptism form tells us as parents and as the church family that we are always to therefore teach our little ones that they have been set apart by baptism as God's own children. And because of that, they are to repent of their sins and embrace God's promise of forgiveness in Christ by faith. Boys and girls, did you see Alyssa get baptized this morning? Yeah, we all did. In the same way, boys and girls, you were baptized. Mom and Dad brought you forward. And this church family promised to raise you to trust Jesus. And the minister put water on you too, even if you don't remember getting wet. Most of us don't. But that doesn't change the fact or the validity of God's promise of salvation in Jesus Christ. God's promises are still true, that He will wash away our sins because of Jesus Christ. And boys and girls, when you were baptized, the minister said, "In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, for you." Putting God's name on you, marking you as belonging to God. We all, as your church family, want you to believe in God. And while profession of faith is something that you do on your own, you're never all alone, because we as a church family are there with you. When you were baptized, just like Alyssa has a lot of her family here this morning, your family came out. They made promises. Everyone is promising to care for you, to teach you, to pray for you, that you will belong to God and follow Him each and every day of your life. The flood. Secondly, the water. And third, as we wrap up this morning, the deliverance. When we look at 1 Peter 3, verse 21, the words that we hear are this: baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. And if you take out that, I think, that little parenthetical citation, which corresponds to this, what you end up with is baptism now saves you. So those are the words that we hear: baptism now saves you. Now the early church, they thought it was baptism that saved you. And that expressed itself in emergency baptisms if an infant was dying, because they thought that was literally what was saving someone. But as Reformed Christians, we know that the action of baptism, the ceremony, the getting wet in and of itself, isn't what saves. Baptism isn't what saves you. And to drive that point home, did the flood water save Noah? The answer is no. God saved Noah, and He used an ark to do so. Does the water of baptism save us? No. God saves us, and He uses His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to do so. Peter is clear that neither water nor baptism can save. The act in and of itself does not save, but what saves is that appeal to God for a good conscience at the end of verse 21 there. What saves is that proper awareness of God that leads to someone seeking and finding peace with Him, turning to Him, that faith. What we're talking about is turning to Him in faith. And this happens not because of our efforts. Catechism students, it's not us grabbing onto the life preserver, but rather it is Christ who comes to us and saves us. It's not because of our efforts, but through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers having been subject to Him. And that brings us all the way back to verse 18 at the very beginning of our passage. For Christ also suffered, Christ also died once for sins. Why? The righteous Jesus Christ for the unrighteous us, that He might bring us to God, that He might bring us through the waters of judgment and safely into the presence of our Lord and Savior. And that, people of God, is the promise that is given not only to us, but to our children as well. That, people of God, is what baptism is pointing to. Just like Noah went into the judgment water for sin and made it through because of God's deliverance, the water of baptism points us to the salvation that is ours because of the resurrection of Christ. Christ is the one who is rescuing us and delivering us from God's judgment. He's the one who's taking that judgment on to Himself. He's the one that's going through the flood in our place. That's why the water of baptism is such a serious thing. It's just as serious as the flood waters, because it points to God's judgment for sin, but it also points to the deliverance and the life that is ours through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, as we wrap up this morning, maybe some of you are here, and as you're thinking about the waters of baptism and judgment waters and waters of deliverance, maybe you're not sure if you would make it through the waters. Maybe you're thinking, well, if the flood happened today, which thankfully it won't, but if the flood happened today, I don't know if I would be one of the ones who was on the boat because of faith, or maybe the ones who weren't on the boat. Or if Christ came back today. Judgment against sin. I'm not certain what the outcome would be. If that's you in this moment, then what you need to hear is that Christ died for sins. Christ died for your sins. He went through this judgment in your place. He accomplished your salvation to bring you to God, like verse 18 says. And this salvation, this deliverance, this life is yours when you place your faith in Him. That's what you need to hear. And what you need to pray is, Lord, I believe that You are the Savior for my sin. And that I am just as wicked as all of those people who were wiped out because of the flood. And that, oh Lord, is why I need Your forgiveness. I need Your righteousness because I'm unrighteous. Thank You for dying for my sins. Thank You for suffering in my place. I confess my sins and I hold on to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And as Alyssa and the rest of our children learn and grow, this promise of salvation is the promise that is given to them as well. The promise that they will take hold of when they profess their faith and take their place at the Lord's table. We are brought through the water, people of God. We are saved from judgment by faith alone, in Christ alone. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You will never destroy us in our sin, as You once did with the flood upon the world, but save us as You saved believing Noah and his family. Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Christ. We thank You for the salvation that is ours through faith in Him. And we pray that You will continue to work out Your plan of salvation in our hearts and in our lives, molding and shaping us more and more into Your image. Give us that assurance of salvation as we trust in You, place our faith in You, knowing that You will bring us through the waters, that Christ will bring us to God, to You. And it's in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.